Hilchos Tzedakah begins in the Shulchan Aruch, in the Torah, in the Shulchan Aruch, with Siman Resh Mem Zayin, which focuses on the Agada of Tzedakah and the many great milas that the Psukim and Chazal describe, and the power of the mitzvah of Tzedakah. Hopefully we'll close our limud of Tzedakah with a focus on the Agada. I want to open our limud of Tzedakah with a focus on a number of the halachic issues. When you look at the mitzvah of tzedakah, so there are two major perspectives on how you think about the chiyuv of tzedakah. You can think about it supply side or demand side. And you can think about it in terms of the giver or in terms of the recipient. We usually think about tzedakah as, you know, someone needs, so I'm going to provide the need. Oh, thank you so much. You often think about providing for the need, and that's definitely a major aspect of the mitzvah of tzedakah, as you see in the Pesukim and Parsha today, Dei Machzorah, we'll come back to that momentarily. But the truth is that tzedakah is very much a need of the giver. The Rambam famously writes on one of the enigmatic Mishnayos in Pirkei Avos, Hakolafi Rov HaMa'asa, Rambam writes that what that means is that one is impacted. The giver is impacted by Rov HaMasa. If I have a certain sum of money to give, if instead of just giving it one lump sum, I divide it and give to make different donations to different aniyim, so although the same total amount of good perhaps is being done, I'm giving out the same number of thousands of dollars, but by dividing it into multiple acts of giving, it's going to have much more impact on me. If I'm doing multiple Ma'asei Nisina, as opposed to giving away all of those funds in a single Ma'asa Nesina. And that very much highlights the focus on the impact on the giver, the impact on the Nosim. And even in terms of different dinim of tzedakah, there are a number of different dinim of tzedakah seem to break out along those lines of whether we're thinking of it primarily as taking care of the makabel, or a chiyuv that the nosein has to give. And maybe as we progress, we'll keep our eyes open for a different nafkamina. The number of acharim talk about, so there's two perspectives on tzedakah, mitzad ha-nosein, mitzad ha-makabel. Rabbi Rosenzweig has a beautiful, very elegant article a number of years back in the journal Torah Shebaal Peh, where he puts together, organizes the sugya beautifully. A number of different afkaminas in terms of mechila, in terms of the question of whether we force, whether we coerce for the mitzvah of tzedakah, the question of bracha and safek, maybe as we'll keep our eyes open as we progress. But the most obvious example of that chakira is right here. The first major question in terms of giving tzedakah is how much are you supposed to give? And there really are two different ways of defining that. And Shulchan Aruch tells us, at the very beginning of Siman Reish Mem Tes, what is a shir nesina? Well, it depends. In Yado Maseges, Yitain Kefit Tzarech Ani. If I am able to afford it, then I'm supposed to give Kefi the recipient. That's based on the Psukim of De Machzoro to cover the Ani's need. That's something that the Shulchan Aruch Tur and Shulchan Aruch pick up with further in Siman Reish Nun, where they describe what De Machzoro means. A Jew comes to me, that's the Sugim Ksuba Samach Zayin. When a Jew comes to me, and he has a need, and I'm able to take care of his need. If I can totally take care of his need, that's the ideal mitzvah of tzedakah. Dei machzor sheyachzor, to cover what he's missing. But in any other maseges called kach, if I'm not able to fully cover his need, so then the Shulchan Aruch switches and Reish Mem tests if Aleph to talking about defining the chiyuv in terms of the nosein instead of in terms of the makabel. If not, I'm not able to cover the full need of the nosein, so then let's talk about how much am I supposed to be giving to tzedakah. Now the truth is, what does it mean I can? If I can, then I should give day machzor. If I can't, then I'll give less. Well, what does I can mean? How do you define what I can do? So defining what I can, define what yado maseges means, that's really a combination of two major questions. The first two major questions in Hilchos Tzedakah, in a certain sense, the two major questions in practical Hilchos Tzedakah, is what's the total shir nesina, and what are the priorities in giving, the seder hakedimos. Because we're going to need to figure out how much is a Jew supposed to put aside for tzedakah. How do you figure out what one's tzedakah budget is, and then how am I supposed to allocate, given I have X number of dollars to give out to tzedakah, so how am I supposed to divide it? The Rambam, we already discussed before, the Rambam talks the value of multiple acts of giving, okay, but how many and in what proportion? Do I just choose to do whatever I want, to give to whomever I want? Is there a prioritization? So those two questions together will give me a sense of how I define Yado Maseges. Once I determine what am I putting aside, what my budget is, and I determine how I'm subdividing that budget, how I'm allocating that budget across different needs, and then I know, okay, so for this sort of need, I have the following chunk of my total stock of budget allocated for this sort of need. So let me see how much that amount is, what's allocated, what's in the budget, and what's this person's need. The fellow says he needs $15,000 to get back on his feet. If he has $15,000, that will make him whole, he'll be able to carry on with financial stability. So if that $15,000, if HaKadosh Baruch Hu was good to me, and that $15,000 is within my budget to be able to take care of, so that's the ideal mitzvah tzedakah, day machzaro. Often, day machzaro is out of reach of, forget about my total tzedakah budget, but I'm not going to give my total tzedakah budget to just one need, I'm going to allocate it across different needs, as we'll discuss. So if the amount that I would have allocated for this sort of need, that's not as much as the day machzaro, so then I say, I'll pick up part of day machzaro. I'm not going to fully cover the need, but let me give you something significant. And that's really where we turn our attention to the question of what is the shir nesina. So how much am I supposed to be given? In order to fulfill the mitzvah tzedakah, how much is the Jew supposed to give to tzedakah in total? So it's interesting. So Sif Beis, the Torah Shofar quote from Ragaran Baba Basra, the bare minimum, the only yimna atzmo adam aso pachas neshishas hashekel l'shana. You can't give less than a shlishas hashekel, a third of a shekel per year. Where does that number come from? So Gemara in Bava Basra, in the first parak of Bava Basra, the tzedakah sugyas are mostly in the first parak of Bava Basra and in several different locations in the middle of Maseches Ksubas. So the first parak of Bava Basra, the Gemara quotes from the psukim that describe the Shivas Tzion. The Jews come back to build Bayis Sheni, and at one point the psukim describe that they're asking everyone to give shlishas hashekel, a third of a shekel. So question, what's that all about? That's not machz hashekel for kavanas, because that would be at least a machz hashekel. Machz hashekel is either machz hashekel, or sometimes the Beis Din has the right to determine that given the number of people we anticipate giving, and given the cost of, how we anticipate the cost of animals and the flower plan over the course of the year, we anticipate that a machz hashekel per person is not going to cover our total costs, so then we levy a larger number than machz hashekel. Machz hashekel is a minimum, or it could be more. Either way, it needs to be the same amount per person. It's not progressive. Machzor shekel, pesuk mezayim. Heyashir lo yarbeh adal lo yamit. Everyone has to give the same amount. But that amount is never less than the chatzi shekel. The Gemara says, so what's the shlishas shekel about? The answer is, the shlishas shekel, that's tzedakah. So that is the bare minimum. The bare minimum. The shach here in Sifkat and Dalet works out that's why in his community the common practice was the Gabbai Tzedakah would walk around shul Mondays and Thursdays to collect tzedakah. Why Mondays and Thursdays? The mitzvah tzedakah applies equally every day of the year. That's not 100% true. The mitzvah is a unique chiyuv tzedakah on Purim, which is coming up very, very soon, a perfect time to begin halachas tzedakah. And most Purim is unique in certain ways. I'm not mechuyav to give tzedakah every day of the year. Over the course of the year, I should be giving tzedakah. But Purim specifically, I have the chiyuv to give tzedakah on Purim. That's my talmud of Yonim. But any other day of the year, I mean, Gemara talks about the value, particular significance to giving tzedakah on the Tanis. There's no chiyuv to give tzedakah any other than that, any particular day of the week. Over time, I have to give tzedakah. So why I would say, the Shach wonders, how come the minig was, says they would go around every Monday and Thursday. The girl gun every day is one thing. Every Monday and Thursday, he makes a cheshbon of the smallest coin in their denominations given twice a week over the course of the year would add up to about a shlishus a shekel. He says, maybe that's why they had the minig for the bi-weekly pushka to ensure shlishus a shekel. To make the cheshbon, shlishus a shekel works out to 256 prutos. 256 prutos. So that's the equivalent of, let's say, around five prutos a week. Five prutos a week. How much is a pruto? So if we're talking about the actual alpidin, Sama has a discussion about this. The vast majority of posts come assume that we talk about different shiurim of money. What we care about is the present value of that amount of silver, not the purchasing power that it had with Kufas Chazal. So pruta, the value of pruta is... I believe 25 milligrams of silver, 40th of a gram of silver, which nowadays works out to around 2 cents. So it's around 256 prutas, that's around $5 a year. You talk about purchasing power, since they get a sense of what they were thinking about, purchasing power, a pruta is probably between 25, but now the equivalent to the purchasing power of a pruta in the days of Chazal, nowadays would be probably between a quarter and a half a dollar, let's say roughly speaking, roughly speaking. They're talking about 256 prutas a year. So we're talking about $50 a year, $100 a year. That's the bare minimum.
Wait, we're going based on the about 2 cents pruta. That's what we're fasting.
Yeah. Yeah. So al pidin, we would assume, let's say, for pina ben.
That's for all prutas, even like, for example, Makadosh Ishim, all that kind of
stuff. Yeah, yeah. So that's what you should assume. The Sma raises that issue. Should it be a question of purchasing power? But it's almost universally accepted that the dinim are driven by the value of silver. The Alpi Halacha, we see silver as having a fixed value. Goods change. Goods are relative to silver, Alpi Din. Silver is fixed. So, Lamasa, whatever the value of silver is, what the value of silver is. So either it's going to be around $5, it's going to be around $50, $100. But that's the bare minimum. But if a person... That's not what appears in Sif Aleph. That's in Sif Beis. Adam Sif Aleph, he talks about other numbers. Again, he says, ideally, Dei Machsoro. And if I'm not able to afford Dei Machsoro, so then then let me think about what's my total staka budget. My total staka budget is, Shulchan Aruch says, based on the Rambam, the mitzvah min amuvchar, the ayin yofed, the ideal would be chomesh nechasav, 20%. And Mida Beinonis is Master Ksafim. Mida Beinonis, the average, would be 1/10. And less than that is below standard. That's an interesting idea. Number one, Shechter points out that what this means is an interesting setup. You tell me I'm supposed to be given a fifth, I'm supposed to be given a tenth, I shouldn't give less than a shlish to a shekel. But then you told me... Less than a tenth is ayin ra. So how do you fit all these different shiurim together? So you could say, look, there's a mitzvah d'oraisa of tzedakah, and if you don't give a shlish to a shekel, then you're not mekayim the mitzvah at all. But it's still ayin ra up until masim. But there's perhaps something more at work here as well, which is the following. So Shechter pointed out that some mitzvahs, many mitzvahs, are like lulav and shofar. There's a fixed masim mitzvah that's defined regardless of who the person is. Some people may have deeper kavanas than others. Some people may do it in a more mahudrudika fashion. But the basic ma'aseh mitzvah of lulav, of shofar, is regardless of which Jewish man we're looking at, everyone's chayim the same ma'aseh of nesias lulav, everyone's chayim the same ma'aseh of tkiyas or shmiyah shofar. But there are other mitzvahs that there with the hadidara of the mitzvah varies by the person. So, for instance, it's usually assumed, or Sameach and others talk about the mitzvah of Talmud Torah, the Gitz of Yom V'Laila. So that means, the Gemara Darm says, that means you have to learn something by Yom, learn something by Laila. True for everyone? So that's what Or Sameach and others point out, that it varies by the person. It varies by how much time a person has, how much available time, a discretionary time I have, which varies based on what my occupation is, varies based on what stage of life I'm in. Am I single? Am I married? Younger children, older children? Work is busy? Work is less busy? Is it a Monday morning? Is it a Sunday afternoon? How much time is available, and how capable am I of learning? How capable am I of intellectually learning and how capable I of focusing. So it's a sliding scale. There's a dvarim shein lehem shir. Another mitzvah where the tanaim are clear about it is aliyah l'regel. Aliyah l'regel, a mitzvah is not only to appear, to travel to and appear in the Beis HaMikdash and stand upon the floor of the Azara, the mitzvah is to come with karbanos. That's the Mishnayos Chagiga make clear. The mitzvah of aliyah l'regel and Chagiga, aliyah re'iyah, yirop, yavokol zahar le'ra'os, is not just to see and to be seen, that's also a term that means you're supposed to bring karban ola. You bring ola's re'iyah, and Chagiga means you bring karban shlam, a shalmei Chagiga. And then also, typically you bring additional karban shlam that we call shalmei simcha. But the Mishnayos discuss, so how am I supposed to figure out how many karbanos to bring? So the Mishnayos say, depends how much money I have and how large a family group I'm coming with. So if I'm financially blessed, I'm very financially comfortable, but I'm coming with very few people, so I should bring few karbanos shlamim and many karbanos ola, because the karbanos shlamim have to be eaten. And if there aren't many people to eat, then we shouldn't bring too many karbanos that require eating. Karbanos ola, you can bring invariant of how many people you have. And if it's the reverse, I'm carrying many people and less funds, then I'll have more karbanos chagiga, the shalmei chagiga, and fewer olos re'iyah. And that's based on the pasuk. Kashay v'rach Hashem lokecha. Pesukim say, the mitzvos, the karbanos of aliyah l'regel, are driven by the degree of the brachos that Kadosh Baruch Hu is giving. Brachos in terms of family and brachos in terms of finances. So tzedakah is similar to Talmud Torah and to aliyah l'regel and chagiga in the sense that the mitzvah is not defined the same way. The fellow is very wealthy and you give a shusha shekel, he could be even not yotzei mitzvah whatsoever. And the numbers change based on, there's a percentage. Percentages, is, but there are different percentages also that will be driven by how comfortable am I. And it really goes back to the question of where does ma'aser come from? Ma'aser is an interesting question. You saw that Tosfos and Tanis quotes, beginning of the Tosfos and Tanis Daf Tes, quotes a sefrei, Aser Asrenu Lach, it is to talk about the pasuk Aser Asrenu Lach. Sefrei derives from the psukim. Sefrei derives from the psukim by Maser Ani, that just as a Jewish farmer in Eretz Yisrael has a requirement to give Maser to Anim twice every 7 years. Shemitah, there's no Terumas and Masers whatsoever. The fields are all open, everyone can take it. It's Hefker, there's no Terumas and Masers whatsoever. The other 6 years of Shemitah cycle, that you give Truma to the Kohanim 2%. You give 10% to Levi, Maser Rishon, and then there's a second Maser, another 9%, which 4 out of the 6 years you take yourself to consume Yerushalayim, 2 out of the 6 years you give out to Anim, Maser Ani. So there's a Sefrei that the Tosis and Daf Tes Masechas Tanis quotes that links that to Maser Ksaf. Yachol, it's only from the field. How about if I'm making money outside of agriculture? So if I said, no, the psukim indicate even then, aser to aser, that's the pasuk. They're not, but sorry, I said before, aser to asrelach. Aser to asrelach is not that. It's aser to aser, the pasuk in Re. How come it's aser to aser, the double lashon? So the sefrei says, that indicates that there's another maser to the ani. Other than the agricultural maser, there's also maser ksafim. So the kusa, the symbol in the sefrei makes it sound like it's a din de oraisa. There are Rishonim who say that, but they are far and few between. In Simen Shin Lamed Aleph, later in Yeridei, which is the one Simen, enormous Simen. It has 146 Se'ifim.
Which one?
Shin Lamed Aleph. It's basically all the halachas of Zeram.
And how much is it? How many
seifim? It's Shin Lamed Aleph in Yeridei, 146 seifim. And then the Shach points out.
Wait, is that
part of
seifim?
I'm sorry.
Not part of
seifim. It's all no. It's Trumas and Masros. It's halachas of the mitzvah tluyas ba'aretz. But then the Bach and the Taz get into a fascinating, their father and son-in-law, get into a fascinating debate at the very, very end of Shin Lamed Aleph. When they talk about the Din of Maser Ani, your Jewish farmer in Eretz Yisrael, they start talking about to what extent is that connected to Maser Ksafer. So the Bach says no connection whatsoever. The Bach says it's not a Chiyuv Daraisa, it's not even a Chiyuv Drabanan Maser Ksafer. It's a minig, a holy minig. It may go back, again, Aser Aser Enelach. It may go back to Yaakov Avinu, but Bach says it's an old minig. And the Taz attacks him, is Simin Shin Lamed Aleph Sif Katlan Beis. He says, what do you mean? Take a look at the Simin Reish Mem Pes right over here. It's a real chiv. It's a real chiv. Is it a real chiv or is it not a real chiv? The Pesach Tshuva there, at the end of Shin Lamed Aleph, there are 146 Seifim, but only 12 Seifim Katana of Pesach Tshuva. The Pesach Tshuva, Shin Lamed Aleph, Sif Katlan Beis, gives you the rundown on who says Daraisa, Drabanan, or Minha.
Maaser Ksafer.
Yeah. Chomesh, the upper limit of Chomesh, not to give more than 20%, that's Ba'usha Hiskinu. And that may even be at either Takan Drabanan or Din Daraisa. But the notion that the standard that one should strive for is Maaser, it's certainly recommended. It's usually assumed by most contemporary poskim to be a minhag, a very ancient holy minhag that goes back thousands of years, but a minhag rather than a din. Several nafkaminas. Number one, if it's a minhag, that means that one should say, it means that one is not absolutely mechuyiv, and you should make a determination based on your financial situation, whether at this point in your life it makes sense to be given maser, or I'm not yet ready to give my life. I should still be given tzedakah. As soon as you're earning money, you should be giving tzedakah, assuming that you're earning more than bare subsistence, just the bare amount you need to survive, should be giving some tzedakah. But the question is, how far above shlishus hashekel am I going? So when I have to assess what your earnings are and what your needs are, and to make a determination, it may change from time to time, from point to point in one's life, am I able to give maser or even more, perhaps chomesh? The postman pointed out one is super wealthy, even chomesh is not a limitation. Because the reason for the chomesh limitation is shema ye ani v'itzarech labrius. Doesn't make sense to give so much tzedakah that you risk becoming in need of tzedakah oneself. So you have, being that maser ksafim is a minhag, so one needs to make an assessment: am I able to do that yet or not yet? And moreover, since it's a minhag, since we assume that it's a minhag, that means when you do begin to give maser ksafim, it's important to verbally articulate this is being given b'li neder. So that if one's situation changes, if income reduces or expenses rise, so I'm not locked in. If I did not say that, so then things change, I'm no longer able to give maser ksafim, then it's possible that I should seek out Hatar Shadarim. So better than getting into a question whether or not you need Hatar Shadarim, you start a Dover Tov, you articulate the first time that it's B'li Neder, and that way it's when you can do it, but you're not, doesn't become an implied Neder through repetition. I mentioned before that the Din of Chomesh, the Ramah says that since the you don't give more than a chomesh in order to ensure your financial stability, so one afkamina is, and many postim say, if one is exceptionally wealthy, then the chomesh limitation does not apply. And the Ramah gives another afkamina, the dafka kol yimei chayim. Ava b'shas mosa, here Ramah is reish mem tes, sefalot, b'shas mosa yachal adem litlun tzedakah kol ma shiirza. On one's deathbed, there's no concern of Shemei Ani. So the poskim do have a discussion, but one cannot be mevatel the mitzvah of Nachla. They have to figure out how much one needs to give to one's children, and also if one's children could use the money, well, we'll get to Seder Kedima. Obviously, one's children come first. But if one's children are all well settled, so then I have to Shemekai the mitzvah of Nachla, and a certain percentage poskim discuss how much needs to go be Yerusha. But one can give significantly more than a chomesh a way to tzedakah, because again, the rationale of Shema Ya'anev Yisrach Lebrius does not apply when one is on one's deathbed. Just yesterday on Fox News Sunday, they always have the end with the player of the week, power player of the week. So they interviewed a billionaire who's not well known, and he said his goal, a non-Jewish fellow, that's given away a tremendous amount of charity, and he said his goal is to die broke. That's his nesach. He wants to die broke. He said he has the money, he enjoys the money, but he gets such joy from giving to charity. He says, my children are all well taken care of. They don't need the money. So it calls my them alive. I'll give a lot and hold on to a significant amount. But he wants to die. He wants to die with everything given to tzedakah. So that's, again, so Al-Pidin, he's not Jewish. He's not bound by Halchus Yerusha. You have a Jew who wants to have a Jewish philanthropist, wants to give an enormous amount to tzedakah, as opposed to discuss, does Rome have to go Birusha, or just Rav Moshe Feinstein writes a significant amount? We've got to figure out how significant is significant. In the world of Master Ksafim, let me just sketch out where we're headed for next time. You see that there are one or two exceptionally lengthy Pischei Tshuvas here at the beginning of Resh Mem Tes. That's because this question of this issue of Master Ksafim, again, even whether it's Daraisa Drabanan or Minig Yisrael, we usually assume that it's a Minig Tov, but it's appropriate if one can. One should strive to give Master Ksafim. There are a number of questions that go into working through the details of how you actually calculate Master Ksafim. One question is, what's the year? Every time I get a paycheck, I immediately take off 10% and give it away? Probably not. Presumably there's a period of time, it's usually assumed that I have to look over the course of the year. Especially if I'm not a salaried worker, but I own a business, so there'll be revenue, but there'll also be expenses and there'll be losses. So I need to look, presumably, over the course of the year, and over the course of the year, I'll see what my revach was, and I'll figure out what my maser is. So one question is, what's the year? The year is Rosh Hashanah to Rosh Hashanah? Is there some other? Is it year Tu B'Shvat to Tu B'Shvat? Is there some other halachic fiscal year with respect to Master Ksafim? Another question is, are you looking only at income or even at assets? Are we looking only at income or even at assets? That's a question that the Shulchan Aruch deals with based on Yerushalmi.
The first year, it's all your
property. Right, exactly. Shulchan Aruch quotes in Yerushalmi, the first year I give Master on the... In other words, if I received a capital investment, received capital, so when I get the capital, that requires maser, and then going forward, whatever income comes in requires maser. Then there's a question, third question is appreciation and depreciation. If I have my assets, not just I have money coming in, the money that I'm spending, but the assets that I own are rising or falling in value. So do you have to give maser on that? I bought a house. Let's say a fellow buys a house, and then the house goes up. So do I have to give Master Ksafim on that? Or only if I sell the house? Am I chayv Master Ksafim because I bought a house for X thousands of dollars and now it's worth more? Or you say, no, calls them out, I'm holding on to the house. I'm using the house. It's not an investment item. It's not merchandise. It's something I bought for use. So maybe it doesn't matter. I'm not selling it. I don't have access to that. That liquid, in theory, it rose in value, but I don't have more money in my pocket. Maybe when I sell it, that's when I take a gain or a loss. The same question in the reverse. If I have assets that decrease in value, so is that a loss that can offset some of my other revach in the calculation of how much income have I made that's master ksafim susceptible? So again, question number one is, what's the fiscal year? Question number two is assets and income. And that further leads us into question number three of not only receiving assets, but how about appreciation or depreciation of assets, specifically thinking about the item assets that are investment or merchandise as opposed to things that are just for my own personal use. And bechlal, when someone gives me goods, someone gives me cash, Shachar spoke about, right, the Shana Rishona Mea Karen, that's probably cash. Let's say someone gives me a present. Someone gives me a piece of artwork. Painting's worth $700. I have to give $70 to the tzedakah? Or again, or should I say, look, I'm holding on to it. If I liquidate, if I sell it, so I may have to give Masek Safim on the proceeds. And then finally is the question of deductions. And that's a massive, massive question. That is, I have gross income. I have gross income, but a lot is being spent on different things. I have gross income. I get a paycheck every month. But it's not just all rolling around in the bank. Part of it going to taxes. Part of it going to business expenses. And part of it going to household expenses. So at what point do you make the Maaser Kesafim call? You're looking at my gross income pre-tax? Or am I looking at post-tax? Am I looking at after I spend what I need for the month, how much discretionary income is just sitting in the bank? So those are very, very different numbers typically. So these are all very critical Lamasa questions, and we will pick up with this in Mitzvah next time. Yeah.